Homily for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks, October 2nd, 2022. I have a hodgepodge of different things for today's homily, so please bear with me. First of all, just a couple of days ago, Hurricane Ian made landfall in southwest Florida and carved a path through most of that state. Now that the storm has come and gone, people are dealing with flooding, power outages, and lots of devastation. What does the church do for these people in such times? Catholic Charities is a big part of the answer to that question. By Catholic Charities, I am referring to the official domestic charitable agency of bishops and dioceses throughout the United States. This is the means by which the local church takes an inventory of pressing immediate needs that displaced people have, such as food, clothing, medication, and shelter, as well as the damages that church institutions have sustained, like churches, schools, convents, and rectories. When people donate to Catholics in any of the dioceses in the Southeast, the entity that distributes those alms in the name of the local bishop to provide hurricane relief is Catholic Charities. Now, in our area, the dioceses of Fargo and Bismarck joined together to form Catholic Charities North Dakota. There are many needs that Catholic Charities fulfills, including counseling services, adoption, and guardianship for vulnerable adults. While they do receive assistance through the annual God's Gift Appeal, they turn to us each fall and invite us to make a personal investment in their corporal works of mercy. You will find in your bulletins contribution envelopes, which you may either send in to them directly or place in our collection basket. Please join me in prayerfully considering how your family can partner with them in their important work. Also, there is a video that Catholic Charities North Dakota has produced and put on their website, which is CatholicCharitiesND.org. That website again is CatholicCharitiesND.org. Thanks for your consideration. We celebrate two significant memorials in the church calendar around this time of year, and I'd like to quickly bring these to your attention. The memorial of St. Thérèse of Lisieux is Saturday, October 1st. She was a French Carmelite nun whose spiritual autobiography, entitled Story of a Soul, took the Catholic world by storm for its little way of holiness by means of humility. Although this contemplative sister died of tuberculosis at the age of 24 in 1897, and only a couple dozen people were in attendance at her funeral, St. Thérèse the Little Flower became widely known throughout the world. She is one of only four women to have received the title Doctor of the Church, and in accord with her stated desire to spend her heaven doing good on earth, many miracles have been attributed to her intercession. We ask for her prayers. October 2nd, when it falls on a weekday, is the memorial of the guardian angels. Each and every human soul has a guardian angel assigned to him or her as a protector and advocate to follow Christ. Think about that for a moment. All the billions of people that have ever existed and are yet to exist can say the same thing about themselves. The choirs of angels are a reminder to us that there is far more to God's creation, far more than meets the eye. It is more beautiful or immense than any of us can fathom. Too many people, I suppose, lose that awareness of or curiosity in our angelic helpers. I invite those of you who remember the beloved prayer many children learn to join me now in reciting it together. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to lighten, to guard, to rule, and to guide. Amen. This weekend, we also celebrate Respect Life Sunday. In some ways, it feels like we need to double our efforts. After last June's Supreme Court reversal of Roe v. Wade, rather than the other way around. The demonic cheapening of human life has manifested itself in a myriad of repulsive ways, such as acts of vandalism against churches and pregnancy help centers. A cause beholden to means of violence can never achieve peace of heart or soul. If we hold our own lives and those of our loved ones precious, we must also do the same for everybody else, or else one's own claims ring hollow. Proponents of the culture of death are not becoming complacent in light of recent events, and neither can we. Please keep praying and advocating for the conversion of heart that will render harming any of our little ones, whose angels gaze upon our Heavenly Father's face, not only illegal, but unthinkable. Today's second reading from Mass is from a letter that St. Paul addressed to a man named Timothy. You may not know much about St. Timothy, and if so, I'm going to fix that. Timothy was more than a friend or co-worker to the Apostle Paul. He was like the son Paul never had. Paul met him and took him under his wing at a young age. Paul sent the young bishop Timothy to serve the Christian community in the island nation of Crete, off the coast of Greece. Paul considered him to be a second father, a spiritual father, to Timothy. This only increased Paul's anxiety as he was in chains in Rome, far away from his beloved disciple. St. Timothy became a personal adopted patron saint of mine, largely because year after year, I was the youngest member of my class in the seminary. As someone who followed his vocation early and not later on in life, I like to think he and I have something in common. I frequently mention St. Timothy by name in my daily prayers and ask for his intercession. In another of his letters, Paul told Timothy, "Let no one look down on you because of your youth, but be an example to the believers in your speech, conduct, your love, faith, and purity." Paul wrote to the young Timothy, reminding him to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. What is he referring to there? Sadly, not many Catholics can say that they have seen a celebration of the Sacrament of Holy Orders in person. The main ritual act is the bishop's placing his hands on the candidate's head. Then the new priest remains kneeling as all the concelebrating priests come forward, one at a time, to perform the same gesture. It's a beautiful scene that portrays their unity of purpose, and it's a highlight for us as we can celebrate at ordination masses for our new brothers in the priesthood. This represents in a physical gesture the yoke of Christ that the priest begins to bear, but which he never needs to bear alone. St. Paul uses this metaphor here to encourage Timothy to live out his vows despite the obstacles he faces. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. Timothy was not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, or afraid of what anyone may do to him because of his devotion to the Church of Christ. Today's readings deal with the value of faith in our lives. The disciples of Jesus asked him to increase their faith, and he challenged them to put their faith into action, assuring them that as God's instruments, they can do more than they expect. An American spiritual author describes faith as being rare, quote, because no one wants to live between first base and second base. Faith is the in-between space where you're not sure you'll make it to second base. You've let go of one thing and haven't yet latched on to another. Most of us choose the security of first base, end of quote. With the playoffs in the major leagues just around the corner, I thought that example was a timely one. In what way has your faith in Jesus cost you something? I've mentioned that before. Where has your response to Christ's love for you prompted you to go out on a limb and take a risk? If no example comes to mind, today is the day to reconsider that question and ask for that grace. Amen.